By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My dear Summit brothers and viewers of Madani channel, if you can please recite after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Ladies and brothers and viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza Jal, you know, I am happy again to be welcoming you to Rise and Shine. As always, let's begin our program, let's begin our day by listening to the verses of the glorious Quran. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم
ثم لترونها عين اليقين.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم.
ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Ladies and brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, Alhamdulillah Azza Jal, that was our respected and honorable waqar by MashaAllah Azza Jal, you know, beautiful qirat, wasn't it? SubhanAllah, we've begun our day by listening to the Holy Quran itself. What a better way, you know, what a brilliant way to begin our day, my dear brothers. Alhamdulillah Azza Jal, as some of you may have seen, MashaAllah, we have a guest, as we do each and every single day. We have our Ammar bhai, MashaAllah. And I was just complimenting Ammar bhai, MashaAllah, on the Imam Sharif. I was thinking that, you know, Ammar bhai, it seems like, you know, you've got the other half to my Imam Sharif.
Purely accidental, not planned.
SubhanAllah, coincidence. SubhaNallah. MashaAllah, looking beautiful as always, Ammar bhai. Now, the name of the program, as you all know, Rise and Shine. Beautiful weather, isn't it, Ammar bhai?
Definitely. The last few years have been brilliant.
Did you just say the last few years?
Few days, not years.
Allahu Akbar.
Even, I mean, no matter what type of weather, I think generally if you can rise and pray Fajr, automatically your day will shine, inshallah.
Allah.
And I think that's where we, alhamdulillah, as Muslims, we create our own weather. Because the start that we give ourselves in the morning, alhamdulillah.
It's beautiful, honestly. It's, you know, I know, subhanAllah, we're just introducing the show and we've begun in this way, but it really is. When you're waking up early in the morning, everyone's asleep, and you're awake, it feels magnificent, my dear brothers and sisters, inshallah. Yes, you should try it. In fact, you have to try it. You have to get up for Fajr each and every single day. Please begin now. Now, as usual, after the tilawat of the Quran, after listening to the glorious Quran, after reciting the glorious Quran, we then listen to the na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Let's now move to the na'at. And again, for this we have, mashallah, our na'at khan waqar bhai. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
صلي على نبينا صلي على محمد بريه صلي على كريمنا
तो कुछ ना था वो जो न हो तो कुछ न हो, जाने है वो जाने
Yahudi, 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 Yahudi.
اللہ تیرے قدموں میں جو ہیں غیر کموں کیا دیکھے کون نظروں میں چڑھے دیکھ کے تلوار تیرا تیر ٹکڑوں پہ پلے غیر کی ٹھوکر پہ نہ ڈال چھڑکیاں کھائیں کہاں چھوڑ کے صدقہ تیرا اور اپنی اوقات صرف اتنی ہے کچھ نہیں بات صرف اتنی ہے کہ کل بھی ٹکڑوں پہ ان کے پلتے تھے اب ٹکڑوں پہ ان کے پلتے ہیں مجھ کو روزی کا ٹھکانا مل گیا مجھ کو روزی کا ٹھکانا مل گیا خود کیسا کیسا
ہم کو سہرا مدینہ مل گیا مجھ کو سہرا مدینہ مل گیا اور آنکھیں پر نم جھکایا جب تیرا نقش کفِ پا مل گیا جب تیرا نقش کفِ پا مل گیا آسیوں کو تمہارا مل گیا جناب اے حسن اے حسن اے حسن اے حسن تو
صلوا علی الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. ما شاء الله, a beautiful naat read there by our respected Wakar by MashaAllah. My dear seven brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, you are watching Rise and Shine. Now, what is Rise and Shine? Some may be thinking, Rise and Shine is a morning show, a morning program, something to wake you up, Rise and Shine. Yes. And Alhamdulillah, Azzajal, we have a new topic each and every single day. Today, inshallah, Azzajal, we shall be speaking about cleanliness. Now, cleanliness is something which is, you know, an integral part of our lives. Is, you know, we must always remain clean. We must keep the things around us clean. More about that, inshallah, we'll hear from Ammar bhai. But before we do go on to that, remember today, inshallah, Azzajal, it shall be a doctor, and this shall be none other than our Dr. Khurram, inshallah, Azzajal, from London. Inshallah, Dr. Khurram sahib will be joining us. And guess what we'll be speaking about, Ammar bhai?
So many topics, I can't just...
So many options. Arthritis, inshallah, Azzajal, something many people suffer from. You know, we always... Well, in fact, we'll ask doctors out today, won't we? You know, we always talk about clicking our fingers, and then we're going to get arthritis, etc. So let's find out today, is this true? Is it not true? Inshallah, the doctor will tell us today. That's for us, the third segment, which is health is wealth. Before we do go on to that, my dear brothers, before we do turn to Ammar bhai, we also have something else each and every single day. And this is a new image, a new picture, inshallah, which shall be displayed upon the screen. Now, subhanAllah, you know, I think all the pictures are quite brilliant, Ammar bhai. I don't know if you get to see them all.
I've been seeing them occasionally. I don't think all of them, but I think most of them, possibly.
What do you mean by you don't think all of them? You don't see them all? Brilliant?
No, I mean, I don't think I've seen all of them. I don't think I've seen all of them. I've seen some of them.
Gee. Now, today, mashallah, we have a new image, a new picture. What does today's picture show? Allahu Akbar.
Let's take a look
on the screen. Subhanallah. So today's picture, it shows there's a hand there, you know, coming out of some sort of water, some sort of pool. If the picture could please again be displayed and remain on the screen. Allahu Akbar. And yes, we have some individuals. What do you say, brothers? Yes.
No, I mean,
we have some brothers there, you know, taking
out
their...
Pretty much twins, if you're thinking of biological brothers.
Would you say twins? Because there's a lot of... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them.
Okay, maybe, well, not twins, twins, okay, triplets, like, yeah, triplets. I don't even know what to say. There's about something, five of them.
I don't know, I think it would it be somewhere along the hex? I think hex has five, doesn't it? Anyway, no, never mind how many brothers there are right there, my dear seven brothers. There are some brothers, they've taken out their phones, they're taking a picture of a hand. You know, why on earth will they be taking, you know, things do seem a bit weird this morning, don't they, Ammar bhai? Ammar bhai, it seems you have taken a good look at that.
Yeah, I think pretty decent.
And you have much to say about it, yeah? Inshallah, Azza wa Jal. So, my dear seven brothers, today's topic is cleanliness. Go on then, Ammar bhai. Where do we start?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think cleanliness, if we... Firstly, kind of get out of this small little circle of cleanliness that we've kind of made in our mind. You know, cleanliness, we've kind of just limited it to a few things, like clothing and so on and so forth. But especially Islamically, the essence of cleanliness refers both to the outer and the inner self. You know, purification. When you look at purifying...
How do you clean inside yourself? So, inshallah,
yeah. That's... I mean, you don't really start to put soap in your mouth to take it in, and then
shampoo.
So it's no, you don't put any shower gel or anything inside. Rather, I think it's more to do with the spiritual side of things. And I think, you know, inshallah, we'll get on to that later on. What are the signs? How do you recognize when, you know, when somebody has inner cleanliness? But cleanliness from the outer and the inner, this is something that we find in the teachings of Islam. And generally, alhamdulillah, you know, I think one thing we've done is we've distanced ourselves from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. If we look at it, the breakdown of the entire system, you know, be it the house, be it firstly the person himself, the house, the area, the masjid, everywhere we find ahadith that pertain, that are related to the cleanliness of these particular areas and places. So alhamdulillah, within the teachings of Islam, we have this. Obviously, Islam actually stresses upon cleanliness. Mm-hmm. In fact, even the Quran states, "Inna Allah yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahhirin." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who repent a lot and loves those who keep clean.
Allah.
So the scholars, obviously, they've mentioned by those who keep clean, what are the possible interpretations. But at the moment, if we just look at even the verbal, just the translation of this verse. Likewise, we find in the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us to keep clean through various ways. And inshallah, over the show, as we get a chance, inshallah, I'll mention a hadith from various places that pertain to cleanliness. But I think first thing is we have to just kind of get out of this small definition of cleanliness that we've created. That cleanliness just means my clothes got to be clean, and maybe when I wake up, I've got to wash my face, and that's about it. So cleanliness, that's what I'm saying is, the definition that we have for cleanliness, right, we need to kind of broaden that. So we think of it as in keeping ourselves clean, keeping our body and our clothing clean, and so on and so forth. So we find this in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These teachings are very clear. Like, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught with regards to, for example, somebody who goes to pray the Friday prayer, the Jummah prayer, that if he can afford to do so, then he should have a couple of pairs of clothes other than his work clothing. Why? For the day of Jummah when he goes. So likewise, we actually find with regards to in a hadith, it is actually stated cutting the nails, using the miswak, and keeping clean by using water, etc. There's about 10 things mentioned in that hadith. These are all classed as being from fitrah, from nature. So we actually get instructed to clip our nails, use the miswak to clean our teeth, and so on and so forth. In fact, the Prophet ﷺ actually really encouraged the cleanliness of the mouth in particular through the use of miswak particularly. We find this in the ahadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, "As-siwaku matharatun lil-fami mardatun lil-rabbi." That miswak is a tool, is a means of cleansing the mouth and pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, I want to sort of just briefly speak about the miswak in particular. Alhamdulillah, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he really loved this.
Allah.
This is a great sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, he stated that lawla an ashuqqa ala ummati aw ala an-nas la amartuhum bis-siwak ma'a kulli salah. That if I had not thought that it would be difficult for my nation or for the people, then I would have commanded them to perform miswak at the time of every salah. And this is something that sort of helps us to realize even cleanliness from, cleaning the mouth, for example. This is a part of cleanliness. And the Prophet ﷺ really encouraged this a lot. And cleaning the mouth, I think this is something, obviously, I think in our society, a lot of people generally do first thing when you wake up, you use a toothbrush and so on and so forth. But maybe even now, the audience of Madinah Channel, a big portion of them might have never heard of miswak. And I should have brought one with me.
Allah, so I could have, rather than displayed it. Displaying a picture of miswak, we've had a picture, our daily picture today. Just a reminder for the viewers of Madinah Channel, like, yes, but these are brothers and viewers of Madinah Channel, there is a picture of the day, an image. MashaAllah, we are receiving messages. Also, send us your voice messages. You've been sending, mashallah, we've received, well, I won't tell you who we've received it from, Azavia, but later, inshallah, Azajal. What do you think, Omar bhai?
I think, I'll tell you something. For example, this sending a voice message. Anything in life, when do you have the most fear?
Right.
It's actually before doing that action. This is just a side pointer. What I was trying to say is, before you actually do the thing, that's where the most fear is. So in terms of sending the calls in, I think the people that send it in once, you'll probably see them sending in regularly, because they've gotten over that little fear or little hesitation.
Right. SubhanAllah. Coming back to the topic, you're talking about a miswak before we did again go into a tangent. Gee.
Then I think if we look at it from a different perspective,
right,
your environment, keeping that clean, your house, even in fact, that's mentioned in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is by Sina Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he narrates that Inna Allah tayyibun yuhibbu at-tayyib, nadhifun yuhibbu an-nadhafa, kareemun yuhibbu al-karam, jawadun yuhibbu al-jud.
Allah.
And then fanadhafu And then the narrator, Sina Sa'd bin Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he says that I think the Prophet said, Afniyatakum. So keep your houses clean. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pure and He likes purity. He's extremely merciful. He loves mercifulness. And He's Jawad, so He likes generosity as well.
Allah.
So, you know, these are things. And then the Prophet commanded that keep your houses clean. So keeping our environment clean, keeping our houses clean, this is also something that we are taught from the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think you'd probably be able to expand on this much better. In the house, when your house, or you're in the office, for example, at your workspace, when your desk, your workspace is not clean, that's definitely going to impact how much you do in terms of how much you achieve in terms of your work. And then there's also the health side of things.
I don't relate back to this.
I think because you sit at a desk much more than I do.
I thought you might be saying that, you know, my desk is always messy.
No. You sit at a desk much more than I do. I mean, I spend a few hours as well at a desk, naturally, because of studying, reading, and so on and so forth. And I think they say that a messy desk, it's a reflection of a messy mind.
Allah,
so if your mind's not clear, you've got so much confusion and so much going on, that's reflected onto your desk. So generally, keeping your environment and keeping your surroundings clean, it has a few impacts. It has an impact on your performance, how much you do, how well you do. And obviously, it does, if depending on what sort of an impurity or untidiness we're looking at here, it could impact health as well. Especially, for example, let's say you don't dust your table and your surroundings and you have a lot of dust piling up on those. Obviously, that's going to really start to take that dust in eventually. And so there's a lot of stuff which we don't see, maybe with our eyes, but there's a lot happening around us.
There's a lot of things that do affect you, isn't it, aren't there? But I think, do not, Amar, but when it comes to this in terms of your study and things, yes, everything should be clean, but sometimes it just depends on the person. Some people may just suit that environment. Because I've actually seen it, because I've seen some people, you know, they've got things everywhere, but they're able to work.
So, not saying they won't be able to work at all. No,
but obviously there is. That's the... Well, a person who's lives in that condition, he's used to it, isn't he? So it doesn't really affect him.
Yeah,
but for a person who's used to a clean environment, and when that's there, then he'll be affected by it.
I'd still go on to say, though. I'd still go on to say, though, this person who lives in such an environment where he's got things all over the place, he should maybe experiment with a clean environment and see
Brilliant.
If his performance
improves.
So this
is more organization you're speaking about. You know, you should keep your things organized. MashaAllah, yes, we are speaking about cleanliness. We've heard about the importance, no doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves cleanliness. We've heard that cleanliness is nisf of the iman, is half of your iman itself. This itself should be enough, in fact, you know, to understand how important it is to remain clean. Keep everything clean. You know, we can't perform many acts of worship without being clean, without being pure.
Yeah, and then that comes now. So far we were just talking about cleanliness. Now, if it comes
towards
purity,
though.
Before you
do go into that, Amarbai, you know, purity, etc., all of these come into, it's part of the health, isn't it?
Inshallah. So, you hinted towards purity. Now,
right.
Purity, obviously, so cleanliness, one is just keeping clean in general. And then the purity side, this is a bit more of a serious and an important side, because there comes a point where it's, for example, necessary for a person to have ghusl in the Islamic manner, according to, you know, keeping those things in mind, that, for example, the faraid and so on and so forth. So, in order to purify himself for religious acts, for religious worship. So there is the cleanliness, normal cleanliness, like washing your face and so on and so forth. And then there's, for example, for salah, he'll have to perform wudu in a particular prescribed way.
Right.
And he has to fulfill certain conditions, the faraid, according to the Hanafi school of thought, for example, washing the face, that's one of them. And so there's four in total. Now, the reason is, if he's not able to do that, if he's not able to purify himself as per the teachings of Islam, he cannot pray. Because when he goes to pray salah, and his wudu is not complete, his salah is not valid, his salah is not accepted. Because wudu, purity is a condition for salah. So before he even gets to that, he must fulfill this condition. So now, this comes to learning, you know, purity. This comes to learning about religion, because we're not talking about normal cleanliness here anymore.
Right.
Than normal, just washing your face, washing your body parts.
Yeah,
it's a particular way. And there are certain precautions that
a person has a shower every day, it's possible he's not pure.
Yeah, it's possible that if he had to, he got into a state where he had to have a shower, had to have a bath, and he's just showered, and maybe he spent half an hour in there, but his body is still not pure.
Allah.
So if he is going to the masjid in that state, him even stepping into the masjid,
right,
that is impermissible for him. Him touching the Quran, even recitation of the Quran in that state, that is not allowed. So rather than actually being rewarded for all of these good acts he's doing, he'll actually be sinful. So this is where the seriousness comes in. This is where I said the purity side, the taharat side, this is a bit more serious because it pertains to our religious acts as well.
It's absolutely necessary, isn't it? And a person becomes a sinner if he doesn't act upon these things. You're telling us, so you know, it's actually brilliant the way you've begun today's program. Where initially you've spoke about that cleanliness which everybody understands, yes, being clean, keeping your clothes clean. And unfortunately we have many people that don't do this. You know, it's important. You see, one other thing which is actually quite important, which comes in both, doesn't it, is when somebody goes to the washroom, when they go to the bathroom, unfortunately, you know, it's sad, isn't it, that we have this amongst Muslims, although there used to be a time, I remember, when even as kids we used to take care for these things, but nowadays even adults. For example, you just go to the bathroom and come out not washing your hands. This is something which we did not see amongst Muslims. Now, yes, this is something that in this country, 100 or so years ago, it would never happen. That's fine, but as Muslims we always did it, did we not? And you know, nowadays when people go to the bathroom, they come out, you know, they won't wash their hands. Sometimes, you know, they'll, mazala firstly, they'll, standing up, use the lavatory, and then again they won't cleanse themselves afterwards. So these are like norms, aren't they, which people are lacking
nowadays. And this actually connects very nicely to how the teachings of Islam, they don't just teach us to be considerate of just ourselves, but our surroundings and the people around us. And this act of ours, it doesn't just impact us. You know, like, for example, if we haven't washed our hands, and then we go out and we shake hands with someone else, if he found out that you haven't washed your hands, you know, he would not be...
Nowadays, you have some people who are actually scared to shake people's hands.
Yeah. And there's actually certain people with that phobia. You know,
no, one thing is a phobia, Amarba. One thing, for example, you know, that I don't have a phobia.
Mm-hmm. But
well, not this phobia.
Consider it a few times before shaking hands with
someone. Because sometimes it be sometimes, you know, the brother like to me, where you're gonna go and, especially a person like me, you know, you act upon, generally, you give salam, don't you? You know, whoever you meet and things, you hug them and give them salam. But sometimes, you know, I'm with some friends, like, don't shake this guy's hand. It's sad to...
And I think this comes to that point again where, firstly, being considerate of others, and secondly, each and every Muslim, they're an ambassador of Islam. They're representing Islam. So they should not do anything which deters a person away from them, because then, in essence, you know, they could come to them and learn about Islam. Even another Muslim brother could come to them, you know, and learn something from them. So particularly,
nowadays, have you seen how some people, they obviously their best form of greeting is shaking the hand, isn't it? But some people actually choose to use
the fist touch.
And some people choose this, and what can you say? For them, is it better? Why? Because they're aware of this person, that, you know, this person does not wash his hands.
But I think then at that point it doesn't really matter whether you're shaking hands or you're touching fists. Either way, you'll be disgusted to a certain extent.
But you have to do something, don't you, sir?
But I think coming to that point where I said Islam teaches us to be also considerate of others around us and our surroundings.
Yeah.
There's a beautiful hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-Iman bid'un wa sab'una aw bid'un wa sittuna shu'ba.
Allah.
Iman has 70 or 60
something
branches, and فَأَفْضَلُهَا قَوْلُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The best of them or the greatest of them is the statement of saying لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَدْنَاهَا. And the lowest of them is إِمَاطَةُ الْأَذَىٰ عَنِ الطَّرِيقِ.
Allah, Allah.
Removing something harmful from Allah. The path. وَالْحَيَاءُ شُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. And haya, modesty, is also a branch of faith, branch of iman. So removing something harmful from the path. And that pertains to cleanliness as well. In fact, in another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ actually said that removing something which would cause trouble and pain to others, removing that from the path is actually sadaqah. So that's actually deemed as sadaqah in another narration. So this comes back to that point where with cleanliness, this is what we're saying, we need to kind of broaden our horizon, broaden our definition. It's not just me keeping clean and whatever is around can stay as it is. When we see a problem and we can fix it, we should make an effort to do so. And if each and every Muslim acted upon this point, you know, think about how clean our society would be. Because, for example, I'm walking past, there's a bin there, I see some rubbish here, what's stopping me from picking that up and chucking it into the bin, even if it's not mine? When we see a problem and we can fix it, why don't we? So if each and every one of us acted upon just this particular point, I think we'll have a much cleaner society and environment itself. And then our own rubbish, but I'm talking about picking the rubbish and chucking it there. Normally our own rubbish that we, for example, we ate something and the wrapper's there. We chuck that on the floor, or we chuck that, even though the bin isn't that far off.
Amava, this is a very bad habit, which is more with the youngsters. Well, even people our age, so we can't really...
I think it's kind of spread throughout, but you'll find in all ages, you'll find people
throw things outside their cars, and it's really simple, to be honest. You know, you have bins. If you can't put it in the bins, put it in your pocket. Really, you have a pocket, don't you? You can put it in your pocket. You know you're going to come across a bin, so then you can simply throw it in the bin. I don't know why it's so difficult, but it has a huge impact. You see, when one person's going to, you know, throw some litter, and they think, oh yeah, it's just a little thing. But do you know when somebody sees one piece of litter, they think, oh, you know, it's fine to throw a piece of litter here.
Yeah.
So then another person that is probably...
psychologically.
When something's really clean, you know, then you be careful and wary before you do drop that piece of litter.
That has a very, very strong psychological effect, what you said. You know, but when we see something, we kind of see it as social proof, they call it.
Yeah.
So we just kind of follow along with that. There's a beautiful story that relates to that, that once my father told me. There was a king, and he's a new king now. He sort of trusts the people that are under him.
Right.
So his advisor, he said, you know, don't be too trusting of everybody. And I'll tell you, test them tonight. So what to do is there's like a fountain or a pool outside in the courtyard.
But the question is, should he be trusting his advisor?
So, no, but the advisor is trying to give him proof. So he's just saying, do this to test the people. So he's actually telling him, now there's a fountain there. Tell everybody at night, it's going to be dark, there's not going to be much light, everybody to bring a bowl or a container of milk and put it into that fountain or that pool. So in the morning he wakes up and the pool or the fountain is just full of water.
Okay.
What everybody had done is everybody was just thinking, oh, it's only me taking water. If I put a bit of water into it, nobody would realize because it'd be milk. And this is what we're doing. We're just saying, oh, it's only me chucking. It's only a little bit, I'm doing it. But if 1,000 people think it's only me and do the same thing, imagine the impact that has. And you know, there's more than thousands that think the same way. So keeping that environment and keeping the society clean, we, each and every one of us needs to see it as our own duty. If we see it as someone else's duty, I think that's where this is where the problem has occurred. Because we think it's there are people that are appointed by the council, and that's their job. So it's their job to do it, not my job. And when we stop seeing things as our duty, we've started to slack.
Allah, Allah, Allah. We are going to move to our next topic, my dear brothers, viewers of Rise and Shine. Our next topic is a reminder. Now, each and every single day, we have a reminder of the day. You know, sometimes it's stories, sometimes from the Shama'il of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. You know, sometimes we have Amarbai. Let's see who we have today. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, once again, it is the time for our segment, a reminder within Rise and Shine. So alhamdulillah, today we're going to be looking at a beautiful aspect of the blessed description of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the amount of white hair, or just the white hair that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. But not only that, now this is something that we'll be looking at, but along with that, we'll look at what do the various narrations of the Prophet ﷺ tell us? What do we find in various narrations and ahadith with regards to the reason as to why the beloved Nabi ﷺ had white hair? And this would definitely be something that would show us how much the Prophet ﷺ actually had love, how much love he had for us, the nation and the followers of the Prophet ﷺ, the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. Sayyidina Jabir bin Samura radiyallahu an, he was asked about the white hair of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gave an interesting reply, and he says that, so when the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would apply oil onto his blessed head and his blessed hair, then there would be no white hair visible. But when he had not yet oiled his blessed hair, then some white hair would be visible. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he narrates about the amount of white hair that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. He says that the white hair of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were approximately around about 20. And we find various numbers in various narrations and riwayat, hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the narrations that we have received from the companions alayhim ridwan. So in this particular narration, the number that is mentioned is 20. So approximately 20 white hair. And then if we look at the location, whereabouts was this white hair, we find another narration by Sayyidina Jabir bin Samura radiyallahu ta'ala an, where he was asked that the blessed head of the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, did it have any white hair? And he replied, قَالَ لَمْ يَكُمْ فِي رَأْسِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam شَيْبٌ إِلَّا شَعَرَاتٌ فِي مَفْرِقِ رَأْسِهِ إِذَا الدَّهَنَ وَارَاهُنَّ الدُّهُنَ. So Sayyidina Jabir bin Samura radiyallahu ta'ala an, he actually replied that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had no white hair except in the parting, because we've learned that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his hairstyle was what? That he would part his hair from the middle. So at that point of the parting, Sayyidina Jabir bin Samura radiyallahu anhu says that there were some white hair at that point there. But when the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would oil his blessed hair, then those white hair would not be visible. Now, as for the reason as to why the Prophet ﷺ had white hair, we hear a beautiful narration that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, he says to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, Ya Rasulullah, qad shibta, that, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you've started to get some white hair, you've started to develop some white hair. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say as a response? He says, so the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that these blessed surahs have turned my hair white, have made my hair go white. These blessed surahs, so Surah Hud, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Al-Mursalat, Amma Yatasa'alun, and Idha Shamsu Kuwwirat. But keeping in mind that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best of all the creation, best of, from amongst the entire creation, he is the best. And along with that, he has the most fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also, because he is a Nabi, he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the prophets and the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are ma'asoom. It is impossible for them to commit a sin. So we find this, that the scholars, when they explain this, that when the Prophet ﷺ, he says that these surahs have caused my hair to turn white, what does it mean? So the scholars have explained this as, so because these particular surahs of the Quran, they include the calamities and the difficulties and the troubles and the tribulations of the Day of Judgment. So these things are mentioned within these surahs. So these surahs may cause the Prophet ﷺ to be concerned. It made him be concerned for the ummah. The Prophet ﷺ became concerned for his nation, for his ummah, after having read and after having seen the calamities and the troubles that would be on the Day of Judgment. So he became concerned for the well-being of his nation. So this is the reason for why the blessed hair of the Prophet ﷺ turned white. So his concern for the Ummah and for the nation. And this is something for us. This is the reminder for us today. That our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has such concern for us, has such love for us. We find that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried for our sake. He cried for us. He cried for our forgiveness. He was born beseeching for his ummah, ummati, ummati. He left and departed, physically departed from this world, whilst also seeking forgiveness for his nation. And he continues to do so in his blessed grave. So our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves us this much. He loves us so much. So this is the reminder for us today. What are we doing to repay that favor? What are we doing in return? How is our love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And this is something that we need to take on board. When we find something is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves this particular thing, then we should do so. We should try our best to implement that into our own lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do so.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
My dear sisters and brothers and viewers of the channel, that was recorded, mashallah, prior. Jazakallahu khairah for that, mashallah. It's again speaking about the hair, the sunnahs of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a perfect example for everything good.
Alhamdulillah.
Everything brilliant is the epitome of perfection itself. Our next segment is health is wealth, is health is wealth, subhanAllah. And for this we have, as we mentioned, we said doctor, he's a consultant rheumatologist. I don't know if I've pronounced that right. He's a consultant rheumatologist and physician, a director for research and development. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him, elevate his rank in this world and the akhirah, allow him to continue to do the work of deen, bless his family, etc. Inshallah, azzajal, Allahumma, ameen. Dr. Saab, this segment is health is wealth. Now, today you've decided to speak about arthritis. Firstly, why did you choose this topic?
I didn't answer your question fully about the title as well. So, I'll just add that we fit in quite nicely with the other topic as well. So rheumatologist is basically a specialist who deals with problems with muscles and joints. So the it's about rheuma, that means joint, and then ology, as you know, is the study of anything which, for example, most medical specialties.
So somebody wants to go to the gym and get some muscles, Dr. Saab, should they come and see you?
But unless they have injured their muscles, I hope they wouldn't need to see me.
Right.
After the gym, maybe.
So that's what, in terms, that's what I guess as a rheumatologist I do. And the reason why I chose this topic specifically for arthritis, for two reasons. One, it is a lot more common than we think. And second, there seems to be a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings around the topic. So I thought it's your wasila, we can try.
Allahu Akbar. By misconception, Dr. Khurram Saab, is that, you could say, indirectly pointing towards us when we did mention the cracking of the knuckles?
So I did hear that when you were talking to Amar Pai about that. So I guess that certainly is a big misconception.
Right, Allahu Akbar.
But I do want to, I guess, qualify that statement. But I don't want to deserve youth or certainly the teenage audience to say, oh well, we have now got a clean bill from a consultant, we can do it.
Allah. We'll be speaking a little about the image, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. Let's go to the image, because, we don't have much time left. And mashallah, I quite enjoyed today's image, today's picture. So if that picture could be displayed upon the screen, we have somebody putting their hand up. Or is it a hand out of nowhere? What's happened? Go on then, Amar Bhai. Let's hear what you have to say. We do have a few calls as well, inshallah, we'll come to.
I think it depicts the society in this day and age. That, you know, everybody's so bothered about getting the most likes and most hits on social media platforms that they would do things which, now no, that person seems to be drowning, but rather than helping him, everybody's busy getting lost, for example, onto social media.
So there's somebody drowning there and is calling, asking for help.
So rather than helping, people are busy showing maybe like onto their social media platforms that here's the person drowning. And it depicts our society today that you'll see, you know, you see a lot of videos popping up of various things now. Rather than actually going out and helping, people are busy. Sometimes obviously you can't intervene, it's just the situation. And you actually sometimes see people actually put themselves in danger, themselves, right. Not others, themselves in danger just for a few likes on social media, just to get some engagement from people on social media.
Well, recently there was a person who was climbing a building and then he recorded himself and he died.
There have been various incidents where deaths
many
have occurred,
incidents,
you know, gun use, all sorts.
Amir al-Sunnah, Damat Barakatum al-A'la, has actually written a booklet on this also.
On the topic of selfies.
I think it's called The Perils of Selfies. So, Dr. Saab, I think, are you with us? MashaAllah, welcome back, Dr. Saab. What do you have to say about the picture? Somewhat different. Let's see what...
I thought actually, MashaAllah, when you elaborated quite a lot on that. So, yeah, I thought that this is the issue we have currently in society, that when someone is in trouble, they would like to, I guess, perhaps enjoy their misery, unfortunately, instead of helping them out. And to me, that's what it sounds like, that this person is drowning, seeking help. Everybody around him are happy for him to drown as long as they can enjoy the moment, perhaps recall it.
SubhanAllah. Jazakallah khairah. Dr. Saab, so you're talking about, you know, misconceptions. You give us as a perfect example, Dr. Saab. Would you like to continue?
Sure. So I was saying, so one of the misconceptions which you kindly raised about the knuckle cracking.
Basically,
the scientific explanation of that knuckle cracking is that inside the joint there is a lining called synovium. And that is, there is a lubricant in there, which is the synovial fluid. So when we suddenly extend or bend our fingers, there is a negative pressure which is created. And that causes almost like a bubble to burst. So it's actually that what we hear as knuckle cracking. So there is no evidence that knuckle cracking can cause arthritis. However, it doesn't mean to say that... Exactly. Yeah. So, but it doesn't mean to say that it is a good thing to do.
In
addition to perhaps being against manners or etiquette, there are issues about that it can affect the integrity of the small tendons because they suddenly come under huge pressure, and these tendons are obviously very important for finger function. So, in order
a lot of people may not know what tendons means.
Sure. So tendons are, it's the end of the muscle. So muscle, usually when it starts from, it's always attached to a bone, and then it has a big bulk, as perhaps we see in our arms, for example. And then as the muscle comes towards attaching to the other end of the bone, it thins out to try and consolidate all the muscle fibers to improve the function. So that consolidated, thickened bit of the muscle before it attaches to the joint is called tendon.
Tendon, right. Barakallah.
So that's the issue with the knuckle cracking. And there have been some very interesting studies which actually looked at how much energy is created doing this in form of vibration. And it is phenomenal amounts. A lot more than whatever tendons are used to with this sudden jerky movement. So that's why it is still better avoided. However, no evidence that it causes arthritis.
SubhanAllah, my dear samples and views of Rise and Shine. Those who do wake up in the morning and the first thing they do, they'll, you know, well, what do you say about cracking the neck also? You know, you get people who crack their neck. Would that be the same thing?
Exactly. So I think cracking the neck, it's even more of a hazard. there is no evidence that it would cause arthritis, but it's more of a hazard because there is only one longitudinal muscle. So one long muscle which goes all the way from the bottom of the skull to the bottom of the spine. So with this neck cracking, the main issue is that that muscle is, again, under a lot of stress. And because it's only one muscle which is along the whole length of the spine, so any problem with muscle in the neck will then invariably have an effect on the rest of the spine. So then there is a risk that it might start with neck pain, but then very quickly proceed to involve the rest of the spine or even radiate out into the shoulders. And then, you know, these are the people who can then end up with stiff neck or sometimes a condition which is called wry neck, where the neck is almost in spasm and very difficult, it becomes difficult to break that spasm. So hence the more of a reason to avoid any sudden movements of the neck as well.
SubhanAllah, you know, it's such a brilliant to come touch on, come and understand this. Barakallah, Dr. Saab. Yes, I know we were talking about arthritis. I think we will have to continue with this. Maybe another time, could you tell us anything else about, you know, maybe cracking the fingers, etc.?
So I guess just to quickly vet the audience appetite, that there are at the last count 207 types of arthritis which have been identified, and so that's why I said it is a lot more common than we think. So inshallah, if I get the opportunity, we can go into a bit more detail. So again, on the topic of cracking, especially related to neck, if I could add one more thing. So if you look at all these sudden, people might have seen, for example, when the cars are tested for road safety, one of the tests always is the sudden acceleration and deceleration of the car, because that is the reason why, for example, seat belts are important, because it is that sudden change which actually causes very similar to what we can do, perhaps, but not that force, what we can do with the neck. So it's that sudden jerking of the neck which can jar it, and then so again, that is we know that it's important not just for one reason, but an example of that, unfortunately, if somebody has been involved, for example, in an accident or had a whiplash, they would know how painful and how bad it can be. So again,
whiplash, quite famous, isn't it, amongst our society? I think most of the people out there would be able to relate with you, Dr. Saab.
Exactly. So that's why I think, again, because we have recognized it to be such an important issue that it is now standard part of road safety testing for cars. So that's, and again, with the neck pain, we also know that of the every 5 prescriptions which are given out in the UK, one of them is for a musculoskeletal problem. So that's the issue again with muscles, bones, and joints. And of that, the back pain, including neck pain, is the primary cause. So we know that nearly, millions of prescriptions are handed out for issues related to neck and back pain. And it's the most common musculoskeletal issue. So, and again, I think our modern lifestyles have not helped. So again, sedentary lifestyles, sitting all the time, lack of exercise, and then the other main issue, especially now that we are in this era of internet, using computers and our children stuck to their tablets, with their neck in sort of in a permanently fixed position.
People watching programs and, you know, binge watching. This is what happens nowadays, isn't it, Dr. Saab? What we'll do is, you know, a new programs come out, they'll give you a few weeks, wait till somebody said to me the other day, you know, I'm watching this such and such program. And, oh, no, I'm not going to watch it now, though. I'm just going to wait for a few weeks and I'll watch them all together. Astaghfirullah. But this is what happens, and, you know, binge watching, people just watching programs all day.
Absolutely, yeah. So this sort of the block viewing, which you've got used to, and, so the children with adults. But I think for adults, again, it's quite important then. So this is a whole field what we call ergonomics. So it's the ergonomic assessment. So if there are people out there who are using, you know, part of their job, for example, is to look at a computer screen for 8 hours a day, or similar things, then they certainly need to know a lot about posture. And that comes with full ergonomic assessment of their workstation, of themselves. Because again, it's, there is a tendency that we tend to, bend our neck and, spine too much and unnecessarily, too low. And as a result, then these problems arise as well. So again, I think it's important to know then what is the natural neutral posture of the neck and spine and to try and maintain that, particularly if your job requires.
Dr. Saab, you can strengthen your neck, can't you?
Absolutely. So there are very good exercises for that. So I think so. It, I guess, goes back to the various things, including obviously good diet, ensuring that we have enough vitamins, minerals in our diet. So all of those things are good for muscle health. But in terms of exercises, it's quite important. So most people would know that we shouldn't really be constantly looking at a screen. So frequently, perhaps every 10, 15 minutes, we should stand up.
Well, I have a question for you, Dr. Saab. You see, do you know, like when a person, before he's doing some sort of workout, before he's doing some sort of exercise, he'll stretch his neck. This is what we normally begin if you go top to bottom. So you stretch, he'll go up and down. And then, you know, they'll move side to side. So this is the way we stretch our neck. But, you know, there's also the circular movement which we do. Is that good for the neck or is it bad for the neck?
So that is good. So basically, there's six movements in the neck. So when we bend forward, that's the forward flexion, and then we bend backward, that's extension, and then we have the two, so the sideways, there are four sideways movements. One is as we do salam in prayer.
So we turn
our neck to right and left. But then
people do salam in all sorts of manners nowadays too. Some people are seen, you know, who's just come in.
Want to watch, especially if it must, they want to see the entire row of those who are offering their prayers.
Oh, just to show you that, yes, I'm here. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. At this time, brothers and viewers of the channel, please do, when you do give your zakat, please do not forget Dawat-e-Islami. Yes, first, those who are deserving from your close relatives, your family members, but after them, my dear brothers and viewers on the channel, you know, please give to Dawat-e-Islami. The amount of work, alhamdulillah, is happening in Dawat-e-Islami. We all can see right now as well, you know, the thousands of pounds are being spent on Madani channel itself, my dear brothers.
It's Dawat-e-Islami. It's a right to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
It is the saying of the beloved and the blessed Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, sadqa locks up 70 doors of evil. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, Dawat-e-Islami at this moment is working in 107 departments.
It's spreading the fragrance of the love of the Prophet.
In these departments, great work is being taken place. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Let me brief you with a few departments of Dawat-e-Islami. One of the departments is Madrasat al-Madina.
The love of the Prophet, it's all over the world.
Up to now, Alhamdulillah azza wa jal, over 240,000 children have finished Nazara Quran and over 80,000 students have finished Hifz in this Madrasat al-Madina, which are taught free of charge. By this time, brothers, Dawat-e-Islami is working in many other departments along with this departments like working with the deaf, dumb and blind people. Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami is also working in prisons, also working in colleges, universities, and Alhamdulillah, wherever Dawat-e-Islami can take the works of deen, Dawat-e-Islami is trying to approach and working there. In many countries of the world, Alhamdulillah, from UK, America, Canada, South Africa, and many other parts of the world, Madi Islami with us, How can you support the works of Dawat Islami? Those who can give their time towards the work of Deen, alhamdulillah, can give time in any of these departments, try to come forward and give your time. You can support this beautiful organization of Dawat Islami through your sadaqah, through your charity, through your zakat, to donating towards this beautiful movement, alhamdulillah azza wa jal. Who knows, by you donating, that little amount can help support this work of deen reach every part and every corner of the world. May Allah azza wa jal give us all the ability to give our charity in the way of His deen.
It's all over the world. It's Dawat Islami. It's a right to rectify the people. It's all over the world. It's Dawat Islami. It's a right to rectify the people. It's all over the world.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear time, brothers and viewers of Muslim channel, for now, continue to rise and shine by sending durood upon the greatest of mankind. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun